another quick announcement. Men's retreat. Any of you men that are planning on going, I need to have you come to me right after service. And I know several that's going, and I'm taking my vehicle. I think Brother Baldonado's taking a vehicle. So if you want to go, let us know. And the fee was $115, but at the door it's supposed to be $135. But if you men want to go, I'll make up that extra $20, see, whatever it is, so you don't have to pay the $135. But, man, this is a good thing. And I know schedules and everything are crazy, but it's going to be fun. Great teaching, great fellowship, and the food is good, too. So, brother, I'm leaving Thursday, yes. That's the day of it. First service is Thursday night, evening, so let me know and come to me afterwards here. So it'll be 1:15, like I said, we have a couple vehicles we know that are going, and we can take more if we need to. Amen. So praise the Lord. Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ is still on the throne? I'm glad He has a plan. Amen. Sometimes we get out of that plan, but if you stay in tune with Jesus, it's going to be okay. Amen. Brother Allwright, would you come on up? Amen. I appreciate this, Elder. You appreciate Brother Allwright. And we have a lot of things ahead of us, and trust me, we have some teachers, and I have actually, just so you know, especially for leadership, I'm working on an online a college deal that's set up by one of the ministers, a good close friend of mine, Gary Howard, and they have it's about church administration and leadership, and they actually have a college class, and I believe it's accredited, and I'm working on setting it up so for the near future, and some of you are going to be a part of that, and you'll want to be a part of it. It's a good thing, and so I'm working on that there, and these men here, they don't realize it yet. The leadership, they're going to have to go through it. Amen. All of our leadership, our ministerial staff, I'm working on setting that up, and they'll all go through it, and I'll go through it. We want to make our church administratively as powerful as it can be. Amen. Leadership, well, Sister Nita, you're on the mall. You know what that means, to have everything line upon line and everything. And also, I know they announced Wednesday night about the CCW class through Matt Hubanks, and he's coming out here. A lot of that was designed not so much for the CCW, but it was designed for the other active shooter and what have you. Presentation he's going to teach and work with our ushering department and what have you. You say, why should we worry about that? Well, you know what? We're living in a different age, a different time, and not everybody's holy. Come on now. Amen. You say, well, God will take care of me. Well, there was a lot of people in the scripture that died because they didn't pick up a sword and take care of themselves. Now, I'm not saying going out and shoot somebody. We're not doing that. But we're going to put together a plan, emergency response plan for our church. If some wacko, forgive me, walks in the door, we're going to have a plan. We'll present it to you later on after we go through these teachings. We don't even have a plan for if a fire breaks out. Get out, yell. Everybody tries to get out the same door at the same time. It ain't going to work real well. So we're going to work on all this, and it's just a part of growth. And wherever we go next, our next building, we'll have to even do that even more so. So this is all part of it. And Sister Nita is actually the one that gave me his name. And I really seem like a nice guy. So we're excited about that. So get signed up for that if you want to be a part of it. Brother Allred, come. Bring to us the word of the Lord. God bless you, brother.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Before we open the Bible, our sister Susan just informed me that one of the men at work is in the hospital right now. His name is Manuel. He has some type of infection in his legs. He's in the hospital right now. He really doesn't know the Lord like we do. And so his name is Manuel. Let's pray right now in Jesus' name that God rebukes that infection. In Jesus' name, Lord, we lift up to you, Lord, my supervisor, Lord. I ask you right now to reach out to Manuel. Release healing virtue in his body. Drive that infection away out of his legs right now. In Jesus' name, we give you the praise. Amen. In Jesus' name it shall be done. Praise God. Praise God. You know, I've got some good news for you this morning. You didn't just get up and decide to come to church today. John 6:44 says, "No man can come unto me except my Father which has sent me draw him." You're here this morning by the divine providence of God. It is by invitation only that we come into the kingdom of God. And I want you to know this morning that the Lord Jesus brought you here. He wants to move in your heart right now. Hallelujah. If you will allow Him to, He will transform your life in this service. Hallelujah. So I want you to get ready to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to get ready for the Lord to transform your life. Praise God. I want you to open your Bibles this morning to the book of 1 Kings. I stuck my notes somewhere. Let me find them. Hallelujah. I may need them and I may not. Yeah, I'm right here. 1 Kings, 6th chapter. You know, God is marvelous. He is marvelous. As Pastor preached this morning, he knows he has a plan and a purpose. Hallelujah. And I'm glad that I'm a part of his plan, that I walk according to his purpose. If you would open your Bibles up to the book of 1 Kings, the 6th chapter, I want to read one verse, and then we'll also read in Romans 8 and 29. 1 Kings 5, 6 and 7, and Romans 8 and 29. "And the house, when it was in building, was built of stones, made ready before it was brought thither, so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was in building." I want to read that again because I want you to catch this. "And the house," this is talking about the temple that Solomon built for God. "And the house, when it was in building, was built of stone made ready before it was brought thither, so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was in building." Then I want you to turn to Romans the 8th chapter and verse number 29. And this will follow along with what Brother Pastor Fisher preached this morning about the purpose of the plan of God, the master plan of God. I want to reveal a piece of the master plan of God today that applies to us as individuals. Amen. Amen. It says in Romans 8:29, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. For whom he did foreknow," that means to know ahead of time. God is omniscient. He knows the end from the beginning. "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate." Predestinate is a term that has been misused and abused in religious circles a long time, but it's still the Word of God. We're not going to twist it this morning. We're going to give you the real meaning of predestinate. It means to set the boundaries ahead of time. Jesus is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Before God took on flesh, He already calls those things that are not as though they already were. When He, in the beginning, God created, it was already in God's plan that He would take on flesh. He set the boundaries ahead of time. And so He predestinated to be conformed. People hate that word, but it is a good side of it. Conformed to what? The image of His dear Son. Praise God. You can be seated. I want to preach this morning, bring before you this subject. I'm preaching from this thought. Stones made ready. Stones made ready. Now, the Bible gives us quite a bit of detail, and yet it doesn't give us all the detail, but you can tell that it was a colossal deal. The building of Solomon's temple was a colossal undertaking. And I'm going to show you how big a job it was. Solomon had 70,000 men. That's like Gallup on the weekend on the first of the month. You know, trying to get to Walmart. You ever tried to get in there on the first of the month? Just stay home. Don't waste time. He had 70,000 men to bear burdens. That means to carry things, to move things, to transport things. He had 80,000 men to cut timber. Now, keep in mind, it took Solomon 7 years to build the temple with a workforce of 150,000 laborers. He had 3,600 men to be overseers, to tell those 150,000 men what to do. You got to have overseers. You got to have leadership. And so Solomon had this massive workforce. What did he want to do? He wanted to build a house to the glory of the God of heaven. A house that the creator of the universe. Now Solomon said, God, who would think that you would live in a house like this when heaven is your throne and the earth is your footstool? Yet he invited the God of glory. When he got that thing built, you know what Solomon said? My God, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Woo! Woo! I mean, I do. Chills going all over me right now. He said, rise up, O God, and come into your house. Hallelujah! To think that this great God that spoke this universe into existence, as Pastor preached this morning. Just this week, I was thinking about the sun. That ball of fire up there in the sky. And I was wishing it would come out because it was snowing. But I got to thinking about it. That ball of fire up there, made up of gases. I don't know if it's solid or not. But it has been burning and burning and burning and burning. Somebody said, oh, the sun's going to burn out. No, it ain't going to burn out because the God of glory put it up there for a perpetual light on this earth. The reason we have life is because the sun, or the earth rather, is in the exact spot that it needs to be in order to support life on this earth. Now, to think about Solomon, the majesty of God, I was trying to figure out how could the sun burn. Well, I'm not a scientist. I don't even want to be. But just to think of the splendor of God that create such a thing that could burn and burn and burn. Somebody said, oh, it's going out. Oh, no, it's not. Well, they have solar flares on the sun. It shoots up a flare and it affects the electromagnetic field on the earth. So Solomon built a house over 7 years with a workforce of 153,600 men. And he did it for one thing. He wanted God to inhabit that. And I'm going to tell you something. It was man-made, but it pleased God. When Solomon invited the Lord to come in to this house, the Bible said that the power of God was so real that the priests could not stand to minister. They had to back out of there because the glory of God was so powerful. I'm talking today, I want you to get the idea now. Stones made ready. If you would like to have the majesty and the glory of the creed of this universe come into your life this morning, I'm telling you, He will. But it's going to have, you're going to have to get ready. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then you have to get ready. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you the desire of God is to live in your life. I'm going to show to you this morning with the help and grace of God that the Bible, God's will, plan, and purpose is that your physical body is the temple of God. He may not be living there now, but if you'll let Him, He will move in this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Now Solomon understood, I got to hurry along here, want to redeem the time. Solomon understood that this was a massive undertaking and that he did not have the ability to do it. So he sent off to Hiram, the king of Tyre. And Hiram, the king of Tyre, was the friend of David. And he said to this man, I'm going to build a house for God. And I need somebody that is skilled in working with stone and brass and iron and all these different things. I need a man to do it. Send me a man. So Hiram sent David, sent Solomon a man. You can find this in 2 Chronicles 2:1. You can find the response of Hiram in 2 Chronicles 2. First of all, 2 Chronicles 2:7 is Solomon's request. 2 Chronicles 2:13 and 14 is Hiram's response. He sent him a man. And that one man trained other men to do the fine work, from the rough construction to the finest a bit of artwork inside that temple. He sent him a man that knew how to do it. And in 7 years, they got the job done. But I want you to notice this morning, it was David's desire to build God a house. David, the man after God's own heart, he talked to the man of God, Nathan. He said, I want to build God a house. And the man of God, Nathan, said, go ahead and build God a house. But when Nathan got home, God talked to Nathan. And he said, Nathan, go tell David he can't build the house. And so Nathan went back to David and said, David, God said no. But your son Solomon is going to build a house for God. What I'm fixing to tell you is, and this is my opinion, you can take it or leave it, is my opinion that this is the principal reason that David was called a man after God's own heart. He loved God more than anything. And it was his passion to build God a house. But the man of God said no. You know why David was a man after God's own heart? Because his attitude was this. I want to do this for God, but God said no. So I'm going to... He drew up the plans for the temple. He designed it. And he started stockpiling material. If I can't build it, bless God, I'm going to make sure that my son's got everything he needs. I'm going to lay gold. I'm going to lay silver. I'm going to get raw materials. And he started stockpiling it, and the people of Israel went along with what David did. You may have something specific that you want to do from God, and you may not be up to it. Don't get offended if somebody else does it. Say, well, bless God, I can't do it. I'm going to help them do it because I love God with all of my heart. I'm going to stand behind them. I'm going to work with them. I'm going to cooperate with them. That's just a little sideline on the side. And so it was always, I'm going to tell you today, it was always God's desire to dwell in the midst of His people. In the book of Exodus 25, verses 8 and 9, God spoke to Moses and said, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Did you get that? It was God saying, build me a house. I want to live among the people. And so God gave Moses the plan for the tabernacle in the wilderness. Amen. And so it always been that way. Now, back to my text. Stones made ready. The stones that Solomon's temple was made out of were quarried miles away. Think about that. Big stones, small stones. in between stones. They were quarried a long ways away from the building site. My text this morning says that there was not the sound. It was built of stones made ready. There was not the sound of a hammer, an axe, or a tool of iron heard on the building site. Now, brother, boss, they just built your house. There was hammers and guns going off all the time with it. It didn't just appear one morning. And many mornings. But when they put Solomon's house together, no hammer, no tool of iron, no axe was used when they put that temple together. The stones were made far away. There was it was made out of timbers of cedar and so forth and so on. All of that business, 150,000 men worked on it for 7 years. But there was not the sound of a hammer or an axe or a tool of iron heard when they put that temple together. People think that they were cavemen back in those days. I don't know how many's bought into the baloney of the Freemasons, but it's baloney. It's not true. It's a fairy tale. They say that the Freemasons were the outcropping of the Masons that Solomon had to build his temple. That's just malarkey, baloney, or whatever you want to say. It is nonsensical. But I want you to think about stones maybe weighing over 2 tons, 5 tons, 10 tons. The foundation stones were big. Those people were so finely trained and so precise. I don't know what kind of, they didn't have laser tools or water or hydro cutting tools like we got today. They can high pressure water and cut through steel today. They didn't have any of that then. But they made those stones so precision. They were numbered. They were going to fit in a specific spot. That when they brought him to that spot and they put number 7 next to number 8, she slid right in there. I think I got a dollar. If you buy a nice rifle, you want it to shoot accurately, it's got to be floated embedded. And you can tell if it's floated embedded. They don't want anything binding the barrel. Because if it binds the barrel, when you fire that bullet in the heat, you fire a bullet out of a rifle, that barrel's going to get hot. You shoot it 3 times, it's going to burn you. But you can tell if it's floated embedded. You can take a dollar bill, pretty thin, isn't it? And you can slide it under the barrel, between the stock, the foregrip, and it'll slide freely. That tells you that somebody, a master craftsman, floated and embedded that barrel so that it will shoot straight. More accurate than those that are just slammed together, you know. Buy a Remington, it works. That's all I shoot is Remington. Well, I got a Marlin 22, but all I shoot's a Remington. When they slid those stones at Solomon, that master craftsman that Solomon commissioned to make a house for God. You just don't slap dab, wham, bang, slam something together for God and he's going to accept it. God wants it right. And say, when they slid those stones together, brother, you couldn't slide a dollar between them. They fit together. They were stones made ready. Think about that just for a minute. Quarried miles away. I don't know how they transported them. People said they rolled them on logs. Well, I'm going to tell you, a 2-ton block of rock is going to crush a lot of logs rolling it. They didn't have cranes. They didn't have stuff that we have today. But when they were doing it for God, it fit when it got there. Think about that. Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, I say unto thee that thou art Peter. flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but I say unto thee that thou art Peter. And upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus is building his own house, friend. He is building his own house. Moses built a house for God, and Solomon built a house for God, and later on Zerubbabel built a house for God, and after that Agrippa the Great built a house of God for God. The temple that Jesus walked in and kicked over the tables and drove people out of. They built a house for God. But I'm going to tell you what God's doing right now. He's building his house for himself. He purchased it with his own blood. It belongs to him. It's his. And Jesus said in John 14, you hear this in funerals, but it's not a funeral message. Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye shall be also. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus is the master craftsman, because he created all things. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. He's a master craftsman, and he's building him a house. And I want you to notice, he said, I prepare a place for you. It's a long ways from here to glory. The stones are being quarried here on earth. Hallelujah. They're being worked on. Stones made ready. Think about that. Not just some old rock somewhere. Hey, well, let's build God a house. Here's a rock. No. Stones made ready. Think about that. Think about that. Now let me tell you what the stones are. In 1 Peter, the second chapter. Peter, that man that preached at Pentecost, he's still preaching. Here in 1 Peter. And 1 Peter 2, verse 1 through 5, I want you to pick up on an attitude. I want you to pick up on what we're trying to accomplish this morning. Wherefore, 2:1, wherefore, that means because of the things before, the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. That's the last verse of the first chapter. First verse of the second one says, because of these things, wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, that means sneaky craftiness, hypocrisies, that means pretending, acting a part you're not, envyings, and all evil speaking. Now, I'm not going to speak on those things, but I could. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. I want to stop right there. If you sincerely want to be what God wants you to be, then you're going to hunger and thirst after the sincere milk of the Word. You're going to desire it more than anything. You'll be more interested in what God says than what your grandma says, or what the tradition of your family may have said, or Uncle Louie talked to you about. You'll be more concerned with the sincere milk of the Word, because, listen, that you may grow thereby. Not stay the same. Grow the same by. Okay, now, if so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. One scripture says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Okay. Listen now. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men. That means disallowed, set aside by men. They didn't want to hear it. But chosen of God and precious. That living stone is Jesus. I told Brother Charles that Jesus was an Indian because his name was Chief Cornerstone. The Bible also called him a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. There's some people that get offended at what Jesus said. They don't like it. But we love it here. We're built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. Hallelujah. Now, ye, that's us, also, listen to this, as living stones. I know some people got a hard head and a hard heart and say, no, no, that's not what he's talking about. Ye also as living stones, listen to this, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Listen to this now. Acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now let me lay something to rest here this morning. We hear so much in religion. You hear it on the radio. God forbid you see it on the tube, the TV. All those guys are liars. They don't tell the truth. They don't know the truth. They wouldn't know if it jumped up and bit them on the arm. You hear, lay your hand on the radio. Call this 800 number. Accept Jesus as to your Savior. Well, I pray the prayer of faith. All you out there in radio land that accepted Jesus, you are now ready to go to heaven. That's a lie. It's a deception. We're built up a spiritual house that is to be accepted to God. It's not whether you accept Him or not. It's whether He accepts me or you. And we're called. We're as living stones. We're called to offer up spiritual sacrifices. That means worship and praise and adoration to God. It means that we lay some things aside out of our life so that we can be acceptable to God. When we pray and He reveals to us that there are some things in my heart that is offensive to God because I love God. I don't want to offend God. I want Him to accept me. I want Him to say, well done. I want Him to say, enter into the joys of my Lord, enter into the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I want to be ready. I want to be right. Hallelujah. We're going somewhere. Hallelujah. Now, look in the Bible here a little bit today. I don't know much about anything else but the Bible. That's about all I chose to know. And 2 Ephesians 2:19-22, listen what he said. Now, therefore, we are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. Listen to this. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple of the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. If you want God to live in it, it's got to be right. He isn't going to live in any old shack. He's not going to live in any old ramshackle, falling down thing with a yard full of weeds and used cars parked up in the front of it on blocks. He's not going to live in a place like that. He's not going to live in a place where they park the Harley Davidson in the living room and drain the oil on the carpet. He is not going to live in a house like that. He's going to have a house that He likes, that pleases Him, that was full of righteousness, that can spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. I'm telling you, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on that old donkey, they begin to sing, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And the people said, tell him to be quiet. And Jesus said, if these hold their peace, the rocks will cry out. I want you to know today this God of glory, He is worthy of praise. He wants to live in your life. He wants to be in charge in your life. He wants to call the shots. He wants to be in charge. Hallelujah. Precision made... Ooh, God, I'm tired. Precision that was required to build a earthly house, it had to be so precise, it had to be so fixed that they didn't have to hammer it into place. You know, I pastored for a long time. Sometimes you got to use a hammer. Don't like to. Why? Because the stone won't fit in the spot that God's prepared it. And for some reason, we got to knock that knot off. We don't want to. We'd rather the Spirit just come with a laser beam and slice it off. You know who God's stone cutters are? The Bible said we were lively stones, right? I read it to you. We're built up a spiritual house, right? A whole habitation where God's going to live. But Solomon's temple was made of stones made ready. God's temple is going to be made of stones made ready. And so you know what God did? He had some stone cutters. The chief stone cutter sits right there. Oh, he's got some helpers, but he's got the plan. We just got to work with him. Amen. And what is he doing when he's preaching and teaching it? I hear the ratchet click every once in a while. It clicks about one notch every service. I hear it click. And if you listen, I can't help it. I cry. I just got to preach with Pastor when he preaches. I just do. It's a habit. I can't get out of it. I really don't want to. But when he says something right, I say, get him. Get it. Yes. Yeah. Because I hear the ratchet clicking. It goes clickety clack. And I know what God is doing. He's building him a temple. It's down here on the earth. But he's going to take it to glory. He's prepared a place for me and you. And he wants to make sure that I fit where he wants me to be. He wants to make sure when that trumpet sounds, there's not going to be no hammer. There's not going to be no axe. There's not going to be any more preaching. There's not going to be any more praying. There's not going to be more invitations. The church is going to come together and God is going to dwell in it. He's going to be the light of it. It's going to be His. And we're going to worship Him forever and ever. But right here on the earth, right now, He's making stones ready. Ain't it good? It's good. When I pastored in Burbank, California, there was a family moved into Burbank. They come from Texas. And they came to be a part of our church, and they were for a while. Then they moved to somewhere else. A job moved him. They had a little boy. I can't remember what his name was. He's about 8 or 10 years old. And he came up to me one Sunday night and said, Pastor, I got a song. Can I sing tonight? Now, I don't generally go that route. Because you don't ever know. They might sing, God ain't nothing but a hound dog. You don't know what to do. And so, somewhat ambivalently, I said, yeah, in my heart. Hope I'm not sorry. So he got up there, Sister Jackie, and here's what he sang. How'd it start off, Sister Allred? He's still working on me, making me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, Jupiter and Mars. But he's still working on me. And, buddy, that was a sermon all in itself. I want to tell you this morning, we don't come to church just to hoot and holler. Though we do. And that's good. We got to keep doing that. But just remember, He's still working on me. He's got something to say that's going to touch something in your life. Now, if you come to church and nothing ever gets you, or walk, somebody said, you stepped on my toes tonight. I'd say, bless God, get him out of the way. But no. If the Holy Ghost, through the preaching and the teaching of the Word, does not get right down to where you live, I'm going to tell you, either you're perfect and you don't belong here, or you know what I mean? I want to feel God's hand on my life.
I want something that'll make me get down and pray. Brother Baldonado, I want to hear something. I've got to go home and study it out and then got to repent it out or pray it out or change it out. I want something that touched me where I live, because He's building Him a house. He's going to live in it. He's going to dwell in it. I want to be acceptable to Him. If there's something in my life that He doesn't like, whether I like it or not, I want to get rid of it so that I can please Him. If there's something missing in my life that I need, I want Him to tell me, and He'll tell me through the stone cutter. He'll tell me through His master plan. He'll tell me what He wants. Ain't it good? Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Now, I've got to hurry. I don't know what time it started, but Matthew 5 and 6, it's in the Beatitudes. It means the attitude to have. The Beatitudes. Black folks would say, what ought to be? The Beatitudes. The right attitude. He said in Matthew 5 and 6, see if this is your attitude. Blessed, that means are blessed, are those which hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. God, I want to be right with You. I don't have any righteousness on my own. It's like filthy rags. But You will deposit in my account righteousness. Hallelujah. Righteous. I can't think of the word right now, but righteousness. So we should have a heart that says, God, I love You. And if something I love, You hate, because You can't change. You're immutable. You can't change. But I love it and You hate it. So guess who's going to change? Me, if I love God. Now, if I love myself more than I love God, I'm going to just be the same. I'm going to have bumps sticking out on me and knots over here. I'm going to be caved in over here when they slide. God's not even going to take me to the site because I won't fit. He's not going to do a bunch of chiseling and hammering when we get to heaven, my friend. If there's any chiseling and hammering, it's going to be done here. Hallelujah. And I read to thee the text that He predestinated us. His church was going to be made up of people. He didn't predestinate Billy and Bob and Susie and Jane and Phil. No. That's John Calvin. He didn't know nothing about this. But He predestinated. He set the boundaries ahead of time. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I got a place. And by the way, His house is going to be full. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. One writer said, Paul said, beware lest any man take your crown. He's got crowns for us, every one of us. But if I mess up, somebody else will wear that crown that was supposed to be me for mine. But He's able to keep me from falling and present me faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. That's what Jude said. And so He's building Him a house. He's got a place for Larry G. Ulrich. He wrote my name in the Book of Life on July the 7th, 1964. When He wrote my name in that book, there's a place for me. And from 1964 to 2017, He's been working on me. He had a lot of work to do. And evidently He's got a lot more, because He's going to just let me keep living for a while. When He's done with me, Brother Boss, He's going to call me home. And I believe He'll let me know ahead of time it's getting on time to go home. He don't love Paul more than He loves me. Paul said the time of my departure is at hand. He knew He was ready to check out. And when God gets done with me, I know He's going to say, better check your P's and Q's, dot the I's and cross the T's, because, Bubba, I'm coming for you. Won't do me no good if I kick off and I didn't take care of the dotted I's and the crossed T's. Because the way I die is the way I'm going to end up. The tree falls to the south, it's going to lay to the south. Ain't nobody turning it north. And so what I'm saying tonight, this morning, Jesus loves us so much. He's working on us. He's touching our life. He through the Word of God, when we come to church, we expect to have the washing of the water by the Word. That's not water baptism. That's when the Word goes out. Any junk in my life that's not supposed to be there, the Word of God is supposed to be like soap and wash it off. That I go home clean. When I got baptized in Jesus' name, I feel like somebody scrubbed me out with grandma's lye soap. Everybody I ever baptized, Brother Fisher, you know what they say when they come out of the water? I feel so clean. Now, if you've been baptized Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you ain't clean. You got to get baptized in Jesus' name. He said there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. But when you go down in that water, in the name of Jesus, my friend, I'm going to tell you there is a transformation going forth. You go in there a guilty sinner laden down with sin. And you go into that baptistry. And whoever it is that baptizes you, you can say, I baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Down. That's the end of the sin trail. When you walk out of there, there's no sin following you. If you go down in any other way other than the name of Jesus, the sin that followed you in follows you out. Stones made ready. I got to close today. I got a lot of things I could say, but I don't have time. Ephesians 5:25. Stand. I got lots of things I can say to you. But I feel there'll be another day and another time. Ephesians 5:25. Says, husbands. Now, you know who the real husband is? Jesus. He's not only that, he's the master stone cutter. He's a great shepherd. He's all these things. But he said, husband, love your wives. Now, the reason wives is in the plural is because husbands is in the plural. Didn't mean a husband had several wives. Okay, you just need to pick up on that little nuance there. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. And gave himself for it, that he might sanctify. The word sanctify means to make holy, to set aside for holy use. He gave himself for the church that he might make it holy, sanctify, and cleanse it. Now, if you cleanse something, it wasn't clean before, but it's made clean now. Does that make sense to you? That he might sanctify and cleanse it. How does he sanctify and cleanse it? With the washing of water by the word. Why does he do that? Verse 27. That he might present it to himself. A glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle. Or any such thing. But that it should be holy and without blemish. Stones made ready. There's people here today that you've been in the church for a while. He's still working on you. There's people here today that had never, ever, yet to this moment, repented of your sins and then been baptized in Jesus' name. You're yet to receive the Holy Ghost. All classes of people in here today. Stones made ready. If you haven't received the Holy Ghost yet, you're here this morning because Jesus brought you here. I read it to you. Jesus said, no man can come unto me except my Father which has sent me, draw him.
the thing that tugged on your heart and caused you to get out of that bed this morning. Hope you took a shower, or bath, or whatever, combed your hair, washed your face, whatever. But you're here this morning because the Creator of the universe came by and touched your heart. You wonder where the urge came from. That came from God. And He's saying, I want you to be in my church. I'm building me a church. It's made out of stones made ready. Come, let's get ready. If you don't have the Holy Ghost this morning, would you come? This preacher's inviting you today. I'm an ambassador for Christ. It's just like Jesus was standing in front of you this morning. I work for Him. I entreat you, come right now. Just gather to this altar. Hallelujah. If you have a desire, well, I want to go to heaven when I die. Well, come on right up here right now. The Lord is working on us. He's making us stones made ready. Would you join me this morning? The Holy Ghost is tugging. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, come unto me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Hear me and be blessed, for I am meek and low. Sing it loud, lowly. Come and trust my might. Oh, come. My yoke is easy and my burden's light. Saint of God, come unto me. Come to this altar.